There we go.
One more time, happy birthday to Brandon. Yes. I don't know, Brandon, what you expect when you come and you say, it's my last day at this age. We might just sing happy birthday to you and then sing it again at the potluck and then hoist you up on our shoulders and carry you around the room and sing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow. So anyway, good to see everybody today. I'm Lee, co-lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard Church. If we haven't met, let's put our vision statement on the screen. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what we're all about, you guys. And so we're just excited to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. You know, doesn't it feel, would you rather be a big part of something small or a small part of something big? Good question, right? I think I'd rather be a small part of something big, you know? And we know that God has a vision for us. God has a big dreams and big visions. That's why we do camp and we gather and we do things like community on a mission day and our Halloween party, and we get to bless our neighborhood and just be a blessing and be the church, which is really cool. This morning, what we're doing is we're kicking off a series called Thoughts and Prayers. And we're talking about practices, different things that we do that bring greater life and greater joy and greater depth to our walk with Jesus. Has anybody ever felt like there's got to be something more to my walk with Jesus? Like there's got to be something more. Like, I do meet a lot of people, and it's almost like the experience of their walk with the Lord is Sunday mornings, or maybe like tuning into K-Love or whatever. You know, I think there's just got, isn't there? Don't you ever feel like there's something more to it than just that? That God has called us and draws us into this walk with Him, this relationship with Him that is meant to be a deep thing. It is not meant to be a shallow thing. It's meant to be a deep, deep thing. And I didn't grow up in church per se. I was Catholic when I was very young, and for a lot of us in that were Catholic, at least during that time, it was almost like you could call yourself a Catholic even if you didn't practice it. You could be like, you know, I'm Catholic, but you know, I might hit Mass every 6 weeks or 3-4 times a year, you know, and things like that. And so we were kind of like that, but we felt like we needed to go to catechism. So I went to catechism. I remember going, sitting in this little room in the basement of the church, St. Mary's Catholic Church over on off of 39th Avenue in Kenosha, and going through the catechism books together, and then going to my first confession. I'll never forget my first confession. It was Father John. And I say, I confess my prayers to him, and he says a prayer for me. And in the middle of his prayer, I kid you not, he ripped one. And that's why I'll never forget my first confession, because it was like, "And Lord bless me." And I don't know if it was awkward for him. He seemed like pretty much natural with it, but it was awkward for me. And so I remember going through that. And then there were several years where I didn't go to church at all. And, it wasn't on our radar. We didn't go. We didn't even go to Mass. And then when I was a teenager, I got involved in a really large, thriving youth group. And it was very exciting for me. It was busy. It was loud. It was dynamic. And I just loved it. There was just something about it that I just loved it. They had great leadership. But there was a part of me in the middle of that, of attending youth group every Wednesday and going to church twice on Sundays. Can you imagine that? Does anybody remember going to church twice on Sundays? Yes. You went Sunday morning. You went home. You might take a nap, hang out a little bit, play outside with your friends. And then let's go back to church. I hated Sunday night church. And part of it was an interruption of my day. And it was like in the 80s. So there was still a little bit of an expectation to at least, you know, put on a shirt with a collar, you know, and go back to church. And this was back in the day when the pastor sat on chairs up on the platform and there was an orchestra We had an orchestra. We had a guy playing the trombone every Sunday night. You know, it's like, and so it was very, very different. And I didn't like it. But in the middle of all of that, even though I was a part of this really great youth ministry, there was a part of me that like wasn't growing. And I understood that we needed more than just church. Now, I love church. I couldn't imagine walking with God without church. I couldn't imagine being a Christian without church. I meet people that say, you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I'm like, true, but you're missing out on like 80% of it. Like, I love walking with Jesus in community. I love gathering with corporate worship. If I wasn't a part of church, I couldn't be a part of things that were bigger than myself, like camp, right? Like, and I'll challenge people with that sometimes. I'll be like, yeah, that's great, but tell me about the hundreds of foster kids you've blessed over the years staying home and not being a part of something bigger than yourself. Tell me about, you know, the time you built a well in Kenya in the midst of a Muslim community all by yourself at home, right? Like, we get to do things that you can't do on your own being a part of a church. You get to be a part of something bigger than yourself, right? And so there was this part of me, though, in that church and the busyness and the loudness and all that stuff that just wasn't growing. And it wasn't easy for me in this area because my wife and others, whom I think are wrong, have told me that I have ADHD, and they're like, you have ADHD, and I'm like, they have no idea what they're talking about. Do you guys see that tree over there? I'm just kidding. So like they say that. So maybe there's a part of that that's true, and maybe that's why this particular area was maybe a little bit harder. I don't know. And it's just this practice of praying and listening and really patiently contemplating what God might be saying. This idea of like contemplation can be hard, especially if you're a little ADHD or maybe you're easily distractible. But this is how we hear what God might be saying, because a lot of times we think prayer as like we go and we like, dear Jesus, right? And then we list all the things that we want or need or whatever. And then we like, amen. And we miss so much of prayer and communicating with God with that kind of prayer, right? Does anybody ever do that? I do. You know, this is my prayer time. Dear Jesus, list of all the things that I really could use some help with. List of all the things that I want or need. In Jesus' name, amen. And then we miss the other half of prayer, right? And so we need to patiently be listening and waiting, contemplating on what God might be saying. And so maybe you're like me. Maybe you like to be in motion. Sometimes that drives Wendy a little crazy, you know. We'll sit down to, like, you know, watch a movie or something like that, and I'll be up a few times. Hold on. I don't like the way that blanket is folded over there. I better get up and hold on. The oven light is on. I need to get up and go shut that off, right? So I get distracted. Sometimes I get really discouraged when I get that little notification on my phone on Sunday mornings and tells me how much time I spent on my phone. I'm like, what? This is impossible. It's wrong, right? It's gotta be counting seconds as minutes. It must be, right? So maybe you like to be in motion. Maybe you're really distractible, and the thought of meditating on God's words feels really hard or impossible, or like that's just not the way I'm made, right? So we're going to talk about that today, but really quick, let me pray. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. God, you're so good, and we thank you that you are always wanting to speak to us. Lord, and the thing is like you speak to us good things. You speak to us in ways that make us feel more loved. You speak to us in ways that break off deceptions. You speak truth to us, God, and Lord, I pray that you would give us listening ears today in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to share with you actually one of my favorite scriptures. And it's a very brief scripture. It's a really short one. And it's found in a very unlikely place. It's found in the book of Revelation. A lot of times we think Revelation is this like fire and brimstone and all this stuff. And mainly because we don't understand Revelation. And so we tend to approach Revelation wrong. But Jesus is giving a message to the church in the city of Laodicea. If you're not familiar, this church had become what is called lukewarm, right? Lukewarm. And they had lost their passion for Jesus. And it's interesting that Jesus used the term lukewarm for this particular church. So who was that telling me? Were you telling me this, Brandon? Somebody was telling me just the other day that the church and that this city of Laodicea actually had a water problem. And the problem was that their water was lukewarm and it was pretty much useless. Like they couldn't use their water for much. And so Jesus was like basically saying to the church in Laodicea, you have become like the water here. I can't use you. Like, you know, you can't be used to refresh people. You can't be used to, you know, to water crops. Your water you're like no good water. And it says they had lost their passion for Jesus and their faith had become kind of routine drudgery. Has anybody ever felt that before? Going through the motions. Is anybody old enough to remember the old Michael W. Smith song? I know Lori is. Going through the motions. You remember that song? Yeah. Going through the motions. Yeah. And so like it became drudgery. So Jesus writes them a prescription, right? I love it when Jesus writes a prescription. Jesus writes a prescription and it's a prescription that's going to help them turn things around and live a life with him that's victorious. And so Revelation chapter 3 verses 20 through 21 says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. I love that. I love that. You won't find that in any other religion where the God of that religion is saying, hey, let's share a meal together as friends. Wow. We'll share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on the throne. And I just love this passage for so many reasons. But if you remember one thing this morning, remember this, and that's that the prescription for shallow Christianity is listening and contemplation. The prescription for shallow Christianity is listening and contemplation. And it's so important that we understand that, because Jesus starts off by saying, if you hear my voice, we hear his voice by intentionally listening for it. It's not very often that we will sort of accidentally hear Jesus' voice. But we hear it by intentionally listening to it. That's when we open the door. Jesus said, look, I'm knocking. I'm always knocking. I want to speak to you. I want to open the door. If you just open the door. So when we want to hear his voice, when we're looking forward to hearing what he says, and sometimes I think we don't hear what he says because at the end of the day, if we're really honest, we don't want to hear what he says. Because he might say something like, hey, surrender this area of your life. He might be drawing you and leading you and speaking to you in a way that you disagree with. It's funny that we still disagree with Jesus, because 100% of the time we're wrong. I mean, isn't that part of faith and believing and going, well, I believe that you are God because guess what? 100% of the time you're right. And if I look back at my history, the previous 55 years of my life, I can't name you a single time Jesus was wrong. But sometimes we just don't want to hear what he has to say. We disagree. But guess what? None of us are smarter than Jesus. If you were smarter than Jesus, you wouldn't need Jesus, right? He wouldn't be God. And so we want to hear, when we want to hear his voice. And so like what I was saying before is that half of prayer, like any conversation, is listening. Is listening. Jesus uses this beautiful metaphor of having a meal together, of sharing a meal together, right? And so I don't know about you, but when I'm sharing a meal with somebody, it is usually very intentional. When I'm sitting down and I'm having a meal, if you and I go out to lunch together, if you invite us over to your house for dinner, first of all, no fish, but no seafood. But if you invite us over to your house together to have dinner together, I'm not going to be checking my phone the whole time, right? If I have a meal, if I share a meal with somebody, it's very intentional, right? It's, I keep my phone put away. I'm not carrying on side conversations. I'm not in a hurry. Come on, let's get this done. Come on, Sol Saray. Sol Saray and Eric and Gigi and Winnie and I, we've had meals together. They're always so much fun. And like, I'm not going, okay, come on. All right. Make with the guac, right? I'm not doing that, right? And I'm not pulling out my phone going, okay, Eric, no, that's great. Okay, cool, right? And so, like, it's a very intentional experience to share a meal with somebody in Jesus saying, I want to have that kind of experience with you. And so Jesus is calling us into this unhurried, undistracted, peaceful experience that's much like a conversation with a friend. And that's what I want. That's what I want with Jesus. That's what I want with the Lord. And in this time of listening and contemplating, or some might use the word meditating, we experience something so much more than Sunday mornings, than K-Love. And so I want to touch on three things. The first is that listening and contemplating, it creates space in us to encounter Jesus more deeply. See, we create space for the things that are important for us. We create that space. Wendy is so diligent in working out. Sometimes I'm like, what are you doing? You're going to be too fit, right? But she creates space for it because it's important to her. You know, she got one of those, like a treadmill, and it's a walking pad, okay? But it still moves, right? Like, it can increase the speed. It's small, and she has it underneath a stand-up desk. So now she's walking while she's working. She's on her desk, and she's walking. So she's creating space, you know. She's got her little pedometer on her wrist, and she's like, I got my 10,000 steps in by 8 o'clock this morning. You know, like, she's all over. She's creating space because it's important to her, because it's a priority. And we create space for the things that are important for us, right? I mean, some people like to binge watch their favorite TV show. One of my boys, I won't say, is going through The Office for the 25th time now, right? He's created space for it. He's intentional about it. But we create space, this contemplation, it creates space in us to encounter Jesus more deeply. And so sometimes what we do is we confuse depth in our walk with Jesus for complexity. We think that if it's complex, it's deep. But actually, that's not depth. That's just complexity. And so we think that going deep with Jesus means complex theological ideas, right? And I think that those are cool and those are important to learn. We learn things about sanctification, right? Justification, we learn these things. And we think that depth means complex theological ideas, or maybe like Bible teachings that have so much scripture crammed into them that we kind of lose the main point, right? And so we think it's complex. And I've known a lot of people like that. It's like, man, when they're studying the Bible and they get out the Logos software. Does anybody use Logos, right? Some people, okay. Nobody here is like, no, what's that? It's like software, and it's really great software. It really is, and it'll help you study the Bible, and it's got all of the commentaries, and it's got, you know, the concordances and all the Bible dictionaries, and it has all the stuff. It's a library, and so I know guys who, like, they're masters of Logos, and they get on there, and they'll spend hours, you know, just studying minute details of Scripture, which I think is very cool. I think it's wonderful. I've done some really great deep dives. They've been really helpful, but guess what? They have not helped me grow closer to Jesus, per se. It's the time spent contemplating. It's the time spent listening. It's the time spent in relationship with Him, right? So let's not confuse depth with complexity. Deep comes from connecting our head to our hearts and contemplating what the Lord has already spoke to us. Because He has already spoken some gems. A lot of times we just don't give those gems time to sink in and listen to what God is saying and let Him breathe on that. Let the Holy Spirit breathe on the words that he's already given us, maybe through scripture or through times of prayer. And so depth comes from that. That's deep. That's deep. Richard Foster once said, you know, the world doesn't need more educated Christians. The world doesn't need more wealthy Christians. The world doesn't need more talented Christians. The world needs deeper Christians who actually know the Lord. I remember one time I was up at a Bible college in Minnesota, and I was sitting in the student union, and I was listening to a couple of Bible college students sitting right next to me at a table, and one of them was trying to get on the volunteer staff of a local youth group because he had to as part of the program of the Bible college, and they're having this conversation, and one of the guys are like, dude, that youth pastor's not going to ask me how much time I'm spending with the Lord, is he? Like, what? You're a Bible college student, right? And so, like, it's about spending time with him, patiently listening, and think about what we hear. It moves us toward a deeper walk with Jesus, and it moves us away from shallow Christianity that is, like, low impact and low maturity. And so the next thing is that listening and contemplating moves us to following God's direction. We all want to do that, right? We all find ourselves wondering what God wants us to do. And if you don't, you will. What does God want me to do? What does God want me to do with this situation? Am I supposed to take this job? Am I supposed to move to this community? Am I supposed to marry this person? Am I supposed to, you know, get involved with this ministry? And we kind of like, what does God want me to do? And listening and contemplating moves us towards following his direction, right? It's the best way to discover this is just time spent listening. Sometimes we already know, but we try to justify our bad decisions and not following what God wants us to do. Sometimes we know if we spend time listening and contemplating, we know what we're going to hear, and it's not what we want to hear, and so we don't spend time listening and contemplating. We don't spend time sitting with those thoughts and those ideas and what God has spoken and what his word says. And for some reason, we have this desire to hear what God's will is through someone else. What do you think God wants from me? What do you think I'm supposed to do? Tell me what I'm supposed to do. We've had people just tell us straight out, no, just tell me what I'm supposed to do. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. You're supposed to spend time listening and contemplating what God is speaking to you. That's what you're supposed to do, right? When we have a big decision to make, we ask our friends what they think. We try to imagine what God might be saying, maybe through like circumstances, unusual things that are happening. We hear that a lot too. I wasn't sure, but you know what? On my way home from work that night, when I was asking God if I should do this, I got all green lights. And then when I stopped at the store on the way to work, I got a parking spot right up front. And it was like God was saying, go ahead and marry that jerk. It was like God saying, no, go ahead and make that investment. It was like God saying, and it's like, listen, you know, I'm not going to say that God doesn't sometimes speak that way, but you know what? He's probably not. Because we'll do anything but the thing that makes us uncomfortable, and that's sitting there and contemplating and listening to the Holy Spirit and meditating on what his word says and what he's already spoken to us. Ooh, I can tell that's uncomfortable for some people. I can tell. I've said those things before. Has anybody ever said those things before? Yeah, I did that one time. There was a decision I was trying to make, and I was driving my car on the highway, and I was like, God, should I do this? And like, I noticed that all the road ahead of me, it was all blue sky, and when I looked at my rearview mirror, it was all cloudy. I was like, that was God speaking to me. Blue skies ahead. He wants me to do this. I was wrong.
I could give you so many examples. Okay, so listen, sitting and listening requires discipline. We just don't like discipline, right? Sitting and listening requires discipline. It requires patience. It's hard to do in a world where we have just grown accustomed to constant stimulation. I'm just as guilty. Like sometimes during my times of prayer, I'll be like, you know, I you know what? I better check the weather, Because when I'm done praying, I'm going to have to pick out some clothes. I'm going to have to get dressed. I better check the weather. And then like 15 minutes later, I'm like, they did what? Why'd they even post that on Facebook? You know, like, and so I know that it can be very hard to have that patience and to have that kind of like focus. But it's a muscle that we grow. We're so used to constant stimulation. So this idea of just being quiet before the Lord can be very hard. Getting wise counsel, it's important. I am a wise counsel advocate for sure, okay? But it is not a substitute for time spent listening and meditating on what God is saying. One of just recently, I shouldn't even share this story, but I guess it's too late now. I'm committed to the intersection. So before I asked Wendy to marry me, I probably asked 20 people. What do you think? What do you know? What do you think? You know, what do you think? And there was one who was actually a very famous, wise, globally known Bible teacher and evangelist. I mean, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful person of God. And they were like, nah. And you're only single once. You can wait. Like, that was their advice, and I was like, I married her anyway, obviously. You know, sometimes that wise counsel may be wise, and sometimes the wise counsel may not be so wise. That's why we need to go before the Lord. And when I married Wendy, I had the most wonderful peace about it, and I did spend lots of time just, like, meditating on what God's Word said, and even is this idea, this arrangement, is it, like, biblical? Does it honor God? And it was all yes, yes, and yes, and amen. And so it'll be 35 years in August, and so I told her that it was, when we got married, it was going to be a 35-year-old trial period. And so she's fulfilled the trial period, and I think we're going to stay together, right? Okay, good. So, yeah, your probationary period is over. She's like, yes, mine's just beginning. And so, but it's not a substitute for time spent listening and meditating on what God is saying. So Jesus said that he only did what he saw the Father doing. John 5:19 says, so Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And you know, the other part of this is that Jesus spent time with the Father every morning. It says, so the Word says that he spent time with the Father like early in the morning before the sun even came up. He was spending time with the Father. And so he only does what the Father does. And so the last thing is that listening and contemplating enables us to walk in a tumultuous world with perspective and balance. We live in a very strange world. Or maybe that's just an old person thing to say. But I think we live in a very strange world. And there's often that I turn on the news or I look at my phone and I think, what is this world I woke up to? Like, it is so different. It is strange. I feel like, do y'all remember the unfrozen caveman lawyer on Saturday Night Live, Phil Hartman's character? And he's like, I don't know what this world is. I woke up and it's full of strange technology, you know, like, and so he was this caveman who was frozen and then he woke up and became a lawyer. And so
yo.
Thank you. Isn't he a good-looking kid? Yes. So it's a mad world. But the people that I know who seem to carry, like, a holy peace, a confidence, are people who regularly practice times of prayer and listening, meditating on both what they believe that God has spoken to them through prayer and what they've read through Scripture, right? They contemplate it. They follow it. The world doesn't need smarter Christians or louder Christians or more talented Christians. It needs deeper Christians who reflect Jesus more clearly because they've been with him, right? They've spent time in his presence listening and contemplating his word. And so as we wrap up today, I just want to, like, I want to give you a little heads up. Just like, here's a warning. As we go closer to Jesus, And that's that we have an enemy that hates us. We have an enemy that hates us to grow closer to Jesus. We have an enemy that loves lukewarm Christians, that loves lukewarm Christianity. We have an enemy who loves it when we just sort of attend church, but, you know, don't really worship, that we go home and there's no difference in our lives, in the way that we spend our time, the way that we spend time in the Word, the way that we don't really have a relationship with Jesus. We have an enemy who loves that. We have an enemy who is not afraid of lukewarm Christians, shallow Christians, because they represent no threat to him at all. And so he likes to distract us or keep us from him with three things. There's three major things. The first thing that the enemy uses to keep us from growing deeper with Jesus is just noise, distractions, social media, never-ending text conversations. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep. Just got to answer that real quick. Beep, boop, beep. It's almost we have been conditioned like Pavlovian dogs that every time our phones buzz or vibrate or beep or bloop, we've got to pick it up and see what it is. Like, we have become so conditioned to that. And the enemy loves it because it's a distraction. It's noise. It's keeping us from just listening, contemplating, being quiet before the Lord. The other thing that the enemy loves to hit us with is hurry. It's hurry. Just busy, overcommitted, running behind all the time. And a lot of times, it's not so much that we're busy and overcommitted, it's that we're running behind all the time. Yeah. Go back to the distraction. You know, always running late. There was a Chinese Christian named Brother Yun who was just tortured within an inch of his life for having church in his house. And when he came to America, he said that for Christians in America, sleep was their God. The snooze button was their God. If I could just get a little bit more sleep. No, you don't understand. You don't understand. I'm tired this week. I can't go worship. And he literally couldn't wrap his brain around the idea that people who have been bought by the blood of Christ would be so committed to their snooze button. And when we do that, what does that do? That puts us in hurry after that. Hurry mode. I'm in a hurry. I'm running late. I don't have time for the Lord. I don't have time to sit and contemplate. You don't understand. I'm busy. I'm up late. I got babies, so I get that, right? We got people with babies here. Whew! You know? But hurry. Always on the go. Always running behind. And then the other thing is just crowds. That's the third thing that the enemy loves to use. It's just that we're just never alone. Always with the crowd. Always with people. This activity, that activity. I got to go hit that group. I want to go over to that show. I'm going to do that thing. I'm going to be with these people all the time. I've got this going on. And what happens is we fill up our social life too much. And we're always with crowds. We can't just hear. Sometimes the crowd is on the phone. And so much goes back to this. I feel like this. So many roads lead back to the stupid phone. We need to all just go back to the razor, to the flip phone, right? Yeah, to the house phone. Yes. You know, those things were awesome, man. You could run over one of those with a truck. Oh, gosh. You know. And so, like, imagine, like, if you could never be alone with your spouse. What would that do to your marriage? Imagine if you could never be alone. You know, with the people that matter most to you. How much that would affect you. If I could never be alone with Wendy, I would hate that. Hate that. And so, I love it. Like, right now, I feel like our marriage right now is sort of like in a renaissance because we're empty nesters again. And so, like, we're together all the time, and we go for walks together after dinner because she got to get them steps in, and, like, they help, you know. And so I kind of feel like we kind of hit this renaissance, you know, the kids are out of the house. I absolutely love it, but I couldn't imagine if all of a sudden we couldn't spend any time together. We wouldn't feel close together, right? I wouldn't know her heart. And so it's so hard when we've got noise, we've got hurry, we've got crowds. Imagine encountering Jesus just more deeply.
Imagine hearing his guidance during times when you don't know what to do. Imagine having peace and having some confidence and being unshakable when times are uncertain. Those are great benefits from just listening and contemplating what he has to say. So I'm going to pray, and if the worship team wants to come back, I'm sorry I went a little bit late because we got food to eat back there soon. But why don't you stand with me, and I'm going to pray, and when the worship team is going to lead us in a couple of songs. And I just want to encourage you during this time of praise just to, you know, imagine yourself just praising God in the room alone. And imagine just being the two of you. He's standing at the door and knocking. And he wants to come in and share a meal with you. And Jesus, we just praise you and thank you for the words that you give us, that you are knocking. Or we're not just seeking you, but you're seeking us. So Jesus, this morning, take us in. We take you in. Fellowship with us. Lead us throughout the week to be unhurried, undistracted, to not need the input and the information and all the things thrown at us, but instead to need and to hunger even greater to hear your voice and feel your presence and know your nearness. We praise you, Lord. Amen.
Let's just take a minute as John plays to, let's just practice that for a second, just listening.